So let's pray and we'll get into the word for today. Let's pray and we'll get rolling for today. Father, right now we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now we commit this time to you, God, to bless our minds, to understand your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you through him via the Holy Spirit. God, these are the times that try men's souls as you're forging a vessel fit for you to use, and the church comes together as an organized body to actually reflect God's power to a sin-sick, dying world. God, bind the devil, bind his mind, bind the demonic activity in the atmosphere all over this world that tries to hinder the hearing of this message, and bring alive the body of Christ, alive from the dead, to live again, and to do the marvelous works of God. God, we consecrate and dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're past the point of no return. You know, you can reach a point that's past the point that is going to be worth your while to try to return to where you came from. In other words, that point of no return says, look, I'm better off going ahead to where I'm going more so than turning back to where I came from. If you fly from New York to Los Angeles and you got a limited amount of fuel on board, you can reach a point of no return whereby it's not worth your while to try to go back to New York. I'm better off going on to LA because, hey, I'm past the point of no return. I don't have enough fuel to get back, but I got enough fuel to make it to where I'm going. So that point of no return says, look, you can't go back to the starting place. You can't go back to how it was in 1950 or 60 or whatever it was when you thought life was attainable and livable down here. You're past the point of no return. You'll never go back to that again. The life has gotten too corrupted. Civilization has been too corrupted. You can't get back to that same status quo again. It's too bad this time. The mental faculties, the reasoning faculties, the intellectual acumen of the whole world has been downgraded and degraded to such an extent that you'll never get back to living like Leave It to Beaver or the days of Mayberry and Father Knows Best and I Love Lucy and all the little shows we grew up in and grew up watching. All the little sitcoms that came on TV. Now the stuff is full of raw sex, homosexuality, scandal, empire, the freak show everywhere. I mean, Lady Gaga kissing Angela Bassett full on the mouth as a lesbian couple. That's entertainment. Entertainment reflects what's in the heart of the people. You see, if you're going to be entertaining people, you got to feed them what they like. That's what's happening in the world. You're entertained by what is like you. The reason why Donna Reed and Leave It to Beaver came on and Father Knows Best was that the status quo of the American culture and civilization was reflective of the TV shows. So you were entertained by the daily activity of what went on in your house. You know, My Three Sons, Petticoat Junction, The Beverly Hillbillies was just a simple little comedy that was funny. But people don't laugh at that kind of stuff anymore. They got to see debauchery, filth, naked folk, raw sex, perversion. All this stuff is what feeds the appetite now. The internet has a generation of young people hooked on pornography. Young girls sitting in the seventh grade watching raw porno. Women having sex with horses and dogs. I mean, stuff that would make a dog vomit and a seventh grader is ingesting it all day long. Until it's become normal to them. They can do things that a person would not even deem human. And it just be a joke to them. It's fabricated an androgynous civilization where all gender specificity has been eradicated. You don't have a gender in the devil's economy anymore. You are genderless. You're neither male nor female. You're an amalgamated person that bears both character traits. Just like Bruce Jenner trying to pretend he's a woman, calling himself Caitlyn Jenner. That's Bruce Jenner. Now he says, I'm going to date men. Bruce Jenner is just a homosexual that put on drag. That's all he is. Don't have nothing to do with no gender junk, that he's transgenderism and all the little junk he's trying to tell you. You're just a homosexual that like guys. And you went through all these histrionics trying to make people believe you feel like a woman. You're a homosexual, man. It's all you are. It's all you've ever been. And now the world is trying to make you and me the weird, insane ones. Look what they're doing now. They're telling you that if you don't buy into this, there's something wrong with you. You're homophobic. That's going to be in the psycho manuals in a minute now, the psychiatric manuals and the psychological manuals in just a minute. You know, they have a manual, I think, I forget what the name of it is, like DSM-1 or whatever they call it. What's it called? Huh?
DSM.
It's a manual that governs all psychological terminology and psychiatric terminology to determine whether or not you're crazy or not. Homosexuality used to be in it. They expunged it from the manual. Now it's normal. But now, homophobia, you watch it get put in there. You watch homophobia show up in the dictionary. Because you, as a practicing heterosexual person, will become the abnormal one. You won't be the rule. You'll be the exception to the rule. You'll be abnormal. Just to be a heterosexual person walking around that understands and appreciates the nuclear home, you're abnormal. 72% of all black babies are born out of wedlock. So the nuclear home will be foreign to them. You see what I'm saying? So if you walk around and you came from a nuclear home, it's already happening. When you're in the 8th, 9th, 10th grade, you're strange. You're not like the rest of us because you came from a nuclear home. 72% of the populace born out of wedlock. So therefore, I accept the fact that living in a certain environment is normal. That's how Satan attacked to destroy the nuclear family. What was he really attacking? The image of God. He was attacking the image of God because the nuclear family is the image of God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, Children, Mother. That's the image of God. See, people think that Adam singularly was the image of God, which he was as a three-part triune being, spirit, soul, and body. But the complete image of God is the nuclear family. So therefore, Satan despises the nuclear family. Everything he does, propagating lust, pornography, the filth on TV, is designed to destroy the nuclear family by making the men unfaithful. He tries to invade the mind of a man to make him unfaithful and full of lust and somebody you can't put any trust in. Smite the shepherd, cut off the head. Everything else will be destroyed. It'll unravel all by itself. So the devil struck at the nuclear family. There is no man that is normal, no man that is worth his weight in gold that will ever stand in alignment and agreement with homosexuality.
Right.
Whenever you hear any man agree with homosexuality, you know you've got somebody that's been perverted to the core. They are perverted to the very core of their existence. You know, growing up in your neighborhood, nobody associated with, assimilated into, or in any way signed off on homosexuality if you were one of the fellas shooting a little ball down at the park. They have nothing to do with that. So how are they telling you and me this is normal, and everybody that doesn't agree with it, you are abnormal? You're divisive, you're intolerant, you're homophobic, you're a hate monger, hate speech. What are you talking about? You're trying to make a perverse sexual appetite the same as being black. That should be offensive to every black person on earth to even say that sentence. Amen. You're telling me a perverse sexual appetite is the same thing as having black skin. And you're supposed to say, yeah, that makes sense. I see what you mean now. I'll change what I was believing and thinking. I'm glad you enlightened me, brother. This is crazy. We're living in an insane asylum, and we have reached the point of no return. It's unfixable. Whatever energy you're exerting to try to elect the president to fix it, or trying to find new appointed Supreme Court justices to fix it, or trying to work in your local governments to fix it, or depending on the governors to fix it, or believing the church is going to fix it. Whatever you're doing to exert energy in the time and space continuum to try to fix something that is unfixable, you need to stop. And turn your attention toward you as an individual being forged into a vessel that can be full of the Holy Ghost to do the will of God, to extract the last remnants of God's people out of this world. So God can go ahead and do what he's going to do, and that is get rid of this infested, filthy, satanic colony of reprobates. He's going to destroy this because it's past the point of no return. You can't fix it. So you got to accept that. See, what I'm saying right now to the marginal church person is negative. Why is this negative? The end of the reign of terror instituted by Satan, replaced by the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith permeating the atmosphere. No more tears, no more wars, no more crying, no more dying. Finally, universal, eternal peace. And folks said, no, I don't like that. That's a negative message. That's so hopeless. That's so negative. How is this negative? You're living under the auspices of hell, a dictatorial mad spirit, a cherubim angel that is insane. Remember, at the top of the pyramid, there's no president or king or monarch. Satan is at the top of the pyramid. Everything you see on earth is orchestrated by Satan, not man. Global leaders that try to rule the world are not the final stopping place of the authority. Over them, there is a Luciferian allegiance of angels led by Satan. See, these people that lead these rebellious uprisings against God, calling themselves Illuminati, are really Luciferians that worship the cherubim angel that fell. And they believe that he is a good entity that was done wrong by God. Satanists and Luciferians are not the same. Luciferians worship the angel of light. Remember, the Bible says that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers are changed into ministers of righteousness. So that's how he's doing it. He's coming across as an angel done wrong by God. And I'm still trying to give you a good life. And I'm illuminating you to see that God, Jehovah, Yahweh is evil. And I am the good one. And people are buying into this for real. So you see now, we're down here in a civilization gone mad. Right is wrong. Up is down. Good is evil. Everything that stands for holiness and righteousness is seen as something that is judgmental. See how the church people brainwashed will always tell you, you can't judge. Just love. How can you love apart from truth? They don't know that love and truth are synonymous. They're tied together. It's an amalgamation. Love without truth is hatred. Truth without love is information, data. Because love is the presence of God. Truth is the presence of God. They must be united together. It has to be all inspired by God from God's spirit, love and truth projected into the atmosphere is what gives you the totality of the manifestation of God himself. But now anybody saying anything contrary to the devil's definition of what God is like is a hate monger. Why you want to say that about them? Everybody has their own way of reaching out to God. That's what I hate about you religious people. You judge everybody. So what they really want us to do is to become all-inclusive, accepting everything as God, and say nothing about anything. And you'll have a defiled, stinking, filthy, low-down, satanic, demon-infested environment where anything can crawl in and call itself a child of God, and nobody has the right to say anything about it. I'm going to show you at the end of this message why the end time church will be so hated. It'll be despised for the reason I just gave you. It'll be despised for what I'm about to say about it at the end of this message. Because they want to be all inclusive. Everybody come in. Nobody says anything about anything, and everybody's all right. You know where that comes from? Fatherlessness. You're weak, pitiful, emaciated, timid, sissy daddy has never stood for anything. Most times he wasn't even there. So therefore they have this all-inclusive mind that no authority figure anywhere has the right to tell me anything because I've never been under it. You can sit right here right now with that embedded in your soul and not even know you got it in you. Because you haven't seen God surge yet and make his move. So you can sit around this thing pretending to be a submitted person that loves the Lord. And I embrace patriarchy. No, you don't. You're kidding your crazy self. I see a lot of women try to do it, but they try to act like a man and hang with the fellas. That thing with you hanging with the fellas is about to go away. I'm going to see if you can really be a woman, God is saying. I'm going to see if you're really a woman in just a minute. Because you think you are, but you're not one. But he's going to expose that to show you, you don't have the fabrication within to be a woman. Because you can't be a woman until the Lord makes you one. You can't mentally ascend to being one, thinking and imagining this is how you ought to act. Acting don't get you to be the life type. You can act like a sheep all you want, but you're a goat inside. Anybody can look in an environment and try to conform to it and act appropriately. That won't change the organic life type though, buddy. Because when the heat is on, you will always revert back to tight. You, when you're a guy trying to act like a man, hey, we gotta put a little fire under your butt to see. Let's see if you can really stand up in the midst of this burning inferno to see if you're really what you said you are. Man, over the years, I've been doing this 30 years. I've seen a lot of women try to come in like they submitted women of God. But really, they come to contend with authority. Not understanding, a man never has to exert any effort to have authority because it's been given by God. So I'm trying to know what you know. You can't know what I know because you ain't a man. It's impossible for a woman to know what a man knows because you're not a man. So they go to seminary. They get all these books. They got books, lying in the walls of their house, trying to study a bunch of stuff to come in and mesmerize people with what they know. Price, what you been reading? I did read Psalms 2 last week. I don't know. Well, I've been reading Aristotle and Socrates, and I know the history of the church, and Plato said this, and Aristotle wrote this, and, back in the first century, there were several church scholars that said this about this, and I've studied all the different dictates of the Greek, the Latin, and the Hebrew, and I was looking at what Peter wrote. There are lost books of the Bible also, and I've been reading Enoch, and I've been reading the Apocrypha, and I've come along, and I've read a few books by such and such a scholar. And I did some study over here in the Middle East and the Far East. I went to Israel for 10 days and I fasted at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Look, man, look. Look, you're not a man. You're not a man. A lot of women are envious of the fact that they're not a man. They envy men because they want to be a man. You know, that's what embedded in your soul to make you go out there and fornicate as a woman. You want to conquer a man because you want to be a man. I don't have any gonads, so you know what I'll do? I'll take his. Now you walk around with your soul stacked full of gonads. Walking around looking like John Wayne in high heels. I got about 10,000 gonads stored up in me that I done cut everybody's off when I got them. That's what it means when it says, Lemuel, don't give your strength to women. They castrate us. They're going to cut off your gonads, take your strength, and try to walk around dominating men because I bound and surgically removed so many gonads, I can stand against you. Not understanding, there's no energy to stand against you, ma'am. You know why? Because you're no threat. I've been given authority by God. You're a clown. The best you can be to me is a clown. You calling me what? I'm Prophetess Joanne Johnson from Detroit, and I was ordained in 1972, my brother, and you better know who I am and respect the anointing of God upon my life, brother. Ma'am, please, to the left, to the left. All your stuff is stored in the box to the left. See, God, don't nobody care. The worst thing you can do with a person that's crazy in religion is not to care about nothing they said or do it, it don't matter. When you proud, arrogant, they want to call you an SOB, but they know they can't get away with it in church. They would call you that if they was on the street, but since I'm in church, I got to call you or whatever they can think of to call fanatic or cult leader or whatever name they can spew out of it. Well, all because you know that they are not legal with the alienated false authority they try to project. It's an alienated authority. Their minds have been alienated from God. So they try to usurp God's authority by contending with it. But you know when you really have authority, there's never any contention. Because I'm not trying to do this. If God gives you authority, there's no energy to try to have it. So you come out of the world as a fornicator. You came out of the world seducing people as a woman. And you dragged that in the church. And you got all this junk in you that is a misaligned, false interpretation of femininity as far as it is represented interacting with a man. And you bring that right into church and think somebody cares about you. Nobody's thinking about you because God is formulating a ruling council of male authority. And he's going to come down through God to Jesus through that male authority and talk to his church. There's no energy in authoritative servanthood because you're here to wash people's feet anyway. I'm not here to do anything but wash folk's feet. So what do I have to prove? All I can do is wash your stank feet. You want to join us washing people's stinking feet? You see how people try to lift up and be something, not even knowing what we're doing? We're here to wash stinking, nasty, rusty feet. But I want a position. I want to be, see, no, you want to be Beyonce. You want to be Nicki Minaj and Rihanna, Taylor Swift. So you're lifting yourself up thinking this is a glamour girl show. That you can be somebody and you drug it in from the world. Not knowing this is all about servanthood. It's all about feeding God's sheep and taking care of the disenfranchised, ostracized, poor, rejected people, the widows and the fatherless. But yet you try to, that's why they beat them down and try to rule over them. Because they know when you got disenfranchised, downtrodden, rejected people, they're going to look for leadership and somebody to be over them because they don't know. So you don't serve them to help them. You try to beat them down and rule over them and tell them you better pay your tithes or you're going to hell. That's what the Jezebel Ahab coalition is all about. You can drag that stuff in here, program running full tilt, and you don't even know it. And know you're normal and be so far away from God that it's terrifying when you finally wake up to realize you don't have any of the attributes of God whatsoever. But I got that old program I drug across the river with me into the promised land, thinking it's normal. My perspectives, my points of view, my definitions of men or women are all skewed by my life in the world. And I think that what I'm saying is wisdom and it makes sense. And my point of view and outlook is normal when it's all perverted by sin from your past. And you'll know you're right. Man, I've heard this argument my whole life since I've been saved for 32 years. I done had a lot of folk point their finger in my face and call me stuff. To the left. To the left. There ain't no energy. I ain't got nothing to say. Why don't you? Got nothing to prove. If you're right, you're right. You'll be all right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You'll be damned. If I'm right, I'm right. I'll be all right. If I'm wrong, I'll be damned. They hate to hear you say that because I want to fight, man. What I really want is for you to fight me. It's bad when you look at Goliath standing there in high heel shoes. 36, 24, 36, and that's Goliath. With nice brown eyes. Goliath, I didn't know your eyes were so brown. Baby doll, I just had some baby dolls standing in my face calling me name. Pretty. I can't stand you. Hey, look, sit me. You can't stand me, sit me. It is what it is. God's going to have a church. We're destroying everything in sight. I could care less about you. If you got to be destroyed, you got to be destroyed. Move out the way. This is a military affair. It's not for a man full of tenderoni lust who wants to gratify stinking, filthy lust. Get out now. Because God's not tolerating some old lust-filled bag hanging around like Samson with his eyes gouged out. We got to have some guys that's been delivered for real. Everything on this planet is designed to stimulate lust. You go to the store, the checkout stand, got magazines stimulating lust. You're trying to post something on Facebook, somebody trying to send you a naked butt in your face, tooted up in your face. How do you get all these young women taking all these lust-filled pictures butt naked on the internet? What is wrong with you? What are you trying to solicit? Why are you doing this? Because you're a weapon used by Satan trying to emaciate, incapacitate, and emasculate men so they'll be weak. That's why you do it. You actually do what you do trying to make sure the men stay weak so you can rule and dominate the environment. That's why there's no fight. There's no contention. God's going to have himself a church with patriarchal authority in place. And if you're faking it, it's going to excommunicate you all by itself. It's going to throw you out. Because you're not going to be able to stand in that kind of environment. You don't have to use some kind of dictatorial something or nothing to rule over folk. All you got to do is have a servant's heart and do what God tells you to do. That thing will want to contend with you. What's it trying to do? Pull you into the flesh. So it'll have the ability to manipulate and control you. Watch, they'll come on the Omega Ministries Facebook group accusing all the time. And a guy, once he's been actually delivered, he understands. Okay, ma'am, I appreciate your comments. Good, have a good evening. That makes them madder. They really get mad then. You don't know who I am. That's the first thing they tell you. You don't appreciate my anointing. Ma'am, I appreciate your satanic anointing. And everything. You know, I appreciate your anointing. But they really want to call you out into the flesh with them. Illegitimate authority is witchcraft. And it's got to get you in the flesh. You can't see what Jesus did. Jesus didn't deal with Satan as a fallen angel. He dealt with Satan as a warlock. Satan came to Jesus as a warlock. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That's a warlock talking. If you be the Son of God. If you be the Son of God. He was trying to do what? Draw him out. Prove yourself to me. Come into the flesh and obey me. Because don't you understand, if he made the stones and the bread, he had just obeyed Satan. And now Satan had been the replacement for the Holy Ghost and the leadership of the Spirit. You can't respond to witches trying to get you to argue with them. They are inconsequential. They're meaningless. They don't even exist in God's economy. That's the thing that frustrates them. You got breasts hanging out, butt hanging out, everything skin tight, and nobody cares if you're alive. I can't stand a man in this church. You know what I believe? I believe all of them homosexuals. That's the first thing a whore will tell you when you don't respond to them. Are you gay? Well, why are you calling me gay? Do you see my butt? Do you see my breast in your face, boy? You must be gay. That's the warped mind of a witch. That's the program you walked in the world at the club. When you walked in the club, you had a program running. Walking past the guy thinking, I know it. And you walking away, I know he's looking at my butt. Then you try to turn around quick to see. I knew you were checking out my butt. The sum total of your existence is your butt. The butt is the new face. Walk around with a paper sack on your head with just your butt exposed. As long as I got a butt, I can make some things happen up in here. That's how warped, I told you, it's past the point of no return. When your mind gets that warped and that weird and strange, you got some serious problems. I mean, you really would be actually diagnosed in a psychiatric type environment where you got to go to the ward for like 2 or 3 weeks to try to get you kind of normal again. It's something wrong with you. Psychiatrists, you know, they deal with drugs. A psychologist deal with your mind and trying to talk to you and counsel you. But a psychiatrist try to drug you up. ADHD, ADD, here's some Ritalin. Here's some other psychotropic drugs to try to get your boy's mind. You know, psychotropic drugs given to kids in school, they don't fix the problem. They just subdue the problem and keep the boy where he can sit in class and not cause the problem. But he's sitting in class zoomed out. With a coloring book all day, crazy. You know, a lot of psychotropic drugs given a guy, young boys especially with ADD and ADHD, you know what that really is? Trying to knock the man out of him. He's just a boy. The joker just active. He want to do stuff. You got him subdued in a room all day. No more recess, no more playing on the playground. The boy want to go throw a ball. He want to go somewhere and do something rough house and hang around with some boys and do some stuff, you know. The rough house around, you got him in here under women teachers all day. Now he's ADD, ADHD because he's not controllable and he's just so rambunctious and so out of. No, that ain't what it is. All he needs is a guy in that room. Hey, boy, come here, boy. Sit your behind down over there and shut up. That's all he needs. He needs a guy. But what happens? The whole teaching profession has been feminized to the degree that these boys sitting up on all these women at the house and at school without any male input. You know what you're going to get? A bunch of angry boys. They're going to be angry. They grew up mad because all they had was that feminine control over them that's always emotion-based. Your mama emotionally blackmailing you to make you do what she says. Because you get 13, 14, 15, she can't do anything to you. That's going to hurt you. She's standing with a belt hitting you. You through yet? Because let me go out with the fella smoking this dope and going down to the club. You can take that belt and go hang it in the closet because that don't even hurt. You getting frying pans and stuff trying to beat him now. You know, anything you can, a gun to shoot him or whatever. Because he reach up that side, some of these boys be big when they're 12 years old. You can't hurt this boy. So he got to revert to. See, you do your mama like that. See, boy, you see how your daddy left me. And your daddy no good. And you just like your no good daddy. You got the same thing that you got in him. He no good. He a bum. You gonna be a bum just like you know. And you feeding all that stuff into him. Till he begins to do what? Hate you and hate himself. So he goes to the streets of Chicago and kills what looks like him because he hates himself. That's the very catalyst behind all these black boys killing each other. Black men need to be exterminated because I've been told my whole life that the black man's no good. So I'm going to kill them because they got no value. And my mama put it in me. See, this ain't pretty. It's dirty. It's low down. It's scumbag because that's the satanic way that he rules the world. So somebody got to intervene. And the church is God's mechanism of intervention. But you got to get some guys to stand up as servant leaders who have come to serve the body of Christ and not take from it. You see what I'm saying? I told you over the internet, our entire offering last year for 2015 was $98,000. You might be able to buy a couple of bologna sandwiches with that. While Jake's and Dollar, $80 million, $100 million, $120 million. Osteen, you don't even want to know those numbers. And that's all about this huge religious menagerie, an amusement park, an entertainment complex, something to actually entertain the people, not serving the people at all. How would a guy stand in a pulpit and ask you for $65 million to buy a G650 jet? That's the top of the line Gulfstream jet. They don't even have them coming off the assembly line yet. Ordered by the most wealthy people on earth. And he tells you to help buy this $65 million jet for me to fly around in. You can't even get on it. You go near it at the airport parked out there in the private jet arena. And you're going to get shot. And you bought it. I can't. My family going on a vacation down to Jamaica. Can I borrow the jet? No. You peons, you low class people, you scumbags are not allowed to get on my jet. But then I help. Look, you gave $1,000 as I bewitched you at the service. That's where it all ends. Now get on back over there and pay your tithes, boy. But what about the jet? Don't even say it. Don't even say the word jet out of your mouth. Scumbag. And the people just sit there like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, listen, we're going to formulate an environment for a base camp. Deal with the widows, the fatherless, the disenfranchised. We need servant leaders up in here to actually serve at the body of Christ and feed the sheep. Nah, bro. You know why God don't come to that? You know why they don't do it? Because there are women that want to be something under a man. They go to these pimp boys, these sissies, because they want to have positions. So Jake's and Doll and all these boys have learned to give a guy that's a sissy a position. And they feel effeminately bound to the girl they're under because it feels like their mama. It feels like my mama's place. I'm in my mama's house, not your father's house. Remember, this is God's house. He's the father of spirits. But you want to be in your mama's house, and you're trying to reach up to get a position so you can be with the pastor as his armor bearer. And I'm with him, and see, me and the pastor together, we somebody. We're the elite. We're the illuminated ones. We're the leaders. And me and the pastor, see, we coming down the aisle. I'm going to be carrying this Bible. Chucky gonna be carrying this glass of juice. And Leroy gonna be carrying his slippers. And we're gonna all come in before him, you know. The slipper bearer comes in first. Then the cup bearer comes in next. And now me with the Bible as the armor bearer, I come in. And everybody comes in like they do the wedding, you know, like. And all y'all a bunch of gals. That's real.
That's
what's really in church. All those jokes you see on the pulpit, the deacon board, they're all feminine girls. Running game on all the women. Illegitimate babies everywhere in the church. Because you got a bunch of gals leading it and the folks saying amen to every word they say. And you bust it up and expose it, that dark element of satanic bondage hates you for putting light on it. And it's gone past the point of no return. You can't fix it. You can't redeem it. You can't go and try to somehow sanctify it. It's over. God has written Ichabod on the front door. The glory of God has departed and he's leaving. So what you better do is pack your stuff and leave too. Past the point of no return. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're past the point of no return. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're covetous, meaning they want your stuff. Boasters, they brag all the time. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Which is the root of rebellion against all authority. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection. They don't even love their own children. They have no natural affection. A natural love, a natural affection toward their own offspring is not even present. Heard about the women the other day, two lesbians that had a boy. One of them had a little boy, 3 years old. They kicked the boy in the scrotum and beat him so viciously that he passed out from the brutalization of the young boy. That was it. Two other women. A boy wet his pants. They fell out all in the courtroom yelling and screaming. Boy wet his pants, they beat him to death. And the judge sentenced them both of them to life. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, they'll tell a black lie on you and not even blink. Incontinent, meaning they're without self-control. Go to the school systems. Go to the classrooms. No self-control. To the degree the teachers don't know what to do anymore. They basically just kind of tough it out through the day and get them out of there at 2 o'clock, 2:30 as fast as possible because they're incontinent. Fierce. And look at this one. Despisers of those that are good. Just be good. Just be good. And they will despise you. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Meaning they got a religious veneer. They got a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof. That word there is dunamis. That's Holy Ghost power. No Holy Ghost. Just the form. Just the leftover vignette of the church world. But no Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no church. Any environment void of the Holy Ghost is not the body of Christ. Because the Holy Ghost fills the body of Christ. Having the leftover form, but no power. From such, he tells everybody, he admonishes us to do what? Turn away. Do a 180 and walk away from it. Folks, I'm just sitting here. The Lord has me here to pray for them. You're a liar. You don't have the guts to walk away from the filth, and you're bound to it. Stop lying to yourself because this Bible told you to turn away. So if you sit there, guess what? You're a disobedient rebel against the word of God. He didn't tell you to sit anywhere and try to pray for anything. He said to get away from that dead corpse. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I always tell you that word for silly women is the word for a dwarf. A midget woman. A woman that's arrested in her development. Did you not know that sin is an arrester of your development mentally, physically, psychologically, that you have grown to a certain age and stopped. That's how Hugh Hefner makes millions of dollars off of arrested women. He got little girls in 25-year-old bodies. She's sitting there built like Marilyn Monroe with a 10-year-old mind. That's dangerous. That's like giving a 2-year-old kid the keys to a Mack truck and saying, now move that down the street. He's going to kill himself and everything around him. To be driving a totally developed male, female body with a 10-year-old man? That's a silly woman. That's a dwarf. She hasn't grown up inside. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to take care of a home. I don't know how to manage my household budget. Don't know how to sew. Don't know how to do. Do you know anything? Well, I have a big butt. I keep saying that because that's what's being magnified. And I'm dead serious. That's all they talk about. Kim Kardashian's got a big butt. Jennifer Lopez, we know she got a big butt. Beyonce would tell you I'm bootylicious. You see how crazy this is? That's because all of them are arrested in their development. When you are actually anchored in the physical things, you're arrested in your development. So silly women are the very foundation of the false church. Get the silly women, they'll bring the bound men. So the lusting men follow the silly women. So an astute builder of a false religious structure always begins with the silly women. Preach to the women. So for Jace to establish an empire, he started with what? Woman, thou art loose. He started right there to build. And the women began to clamor and run after it. He knew that they'll bring the lust-filled men. Just get enough fine babes up in here, and the men full of lust will follow the babes. That's how they do it. God started with 12 disciples when Jesus walked the earth. 12 patriarchs when Jacob's sons were called up to establish Israel. God doesn't build from the bottom up. He builds from the top down, like unlike anything else. Why? Because God's not on earth. The foundation of the church is not on earth. It's in heaven. Coming down from the Father of spirits and building down. Satan builds up. God builds down. That's why it's hard to understand. The chief cornerstone is not down here on earth. The chief cornerstone is sitting at the right hand of the Father. You see how your mind has to be set above, your affections must be above and not on the earth to understand this? So you see now, silly women are the very foundation of the satanic false empire. He started with Eve. But Eve had to do what? Decapitate Adam, emasculate him. Now Satan steps in with Eve as his underling, as his shepherd, to now lead the world into mass confusion. It makes perfect sense. God's kingdom is patriarchal based on male leadership. Satan's kingdom is matriarchal based on female leadership. And the only man he will trust to lead his kingdom is a matronized man, an effeminized man. He won't deal with any other kind of man. If you got any male character in you, Satan hates you. Because Satan cannot assimilate into, amalgamate with, or associate with a man. You got to be feminine. That's why guys draw back from this by the millions. Because they've been effeminized. What's the telltale sign? They're full of lust. Lust is not a normal character trait of a man. You've been feminized, so therefore you lust after women all day. You like a little boy that likes to play with dolls, because that's all the women are. That is something to play with. Because you seek for commitment from them. Faithfulness, authority, discipline. Most of them even enough income to have a home and a family. You don't find none of that. You know what you find? Lil Wayne in their ear. Smoking a blunt and their pants to their knees, walking around looking like a nappy-headed fool. and mad if you said you're not a man. Who you call? You? I'll beat you. Hey, that's the telltale sign you're not a man. If I stand in the field of guys and say, look, all you sissies are crazy. Now, the ones that don't ignore me, those are the ones that are the problem. Yeah. It's like throwing a rock into a pack of dogs. The only dog going to yell is the hit dog. That's what, you ought not be using the word. Well, if I use the word sissy and you're not one, well, why would you even care? Well, that's what I'm saying. That's not of God. Well, why do you care? Well, I'm standing for the rest of the sissies. I didn't mean to say the rest of. I mean, for those that might be offended by you using the word. Look, man, stop. The devil's master stroke of genius was to bring in feminine foundation to the church and build upon it. So now all church people think that feminine character is normal. So any authoritative statement coming from patriarchal male authority is seen as what? Foreign, strange, mean-spirited, hateful, unloving, and the big one, judgmental. That's how he did it. It's a masterstroke of genius. I'll effeminize the whole environment and make everybody submitted to and used to following feminine character that is soft, motherly, and tender. And then if any man shows up, they'll be foreign and hated and despised, despising those that are good. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the man." That's hated now. They want to get you out of male character. They want to make you a girl. Why is it so hard to coach an NFL team now? Because the guys are so feminine. That's what's wrong with them. That's why Pac-Man Jones blows the game. Because he's a girl trying to argue and debate and fight somebody over nothingness. When the discipline is necessary to win, he's undermining the whole game and the whole team because of his femininity. You see how it works? Bill Belichick don't run no feminine team. As a matter of fact, if you're feminine, you got to go. That team is like a machine. Nick Saban's the same way. He don't run no feminine team. It's like a machine. The only thing I would do different from those guys is everybody got to get a haircut. There ain't going to be no hair hanging out of nobody's helmet. You can't get a haircut, find yourself somewhere else to play. See, they ain't hard enough for me. I'd be hard on them guys. Them guys ain't hard enough. And that's not even being hard. You know what that's being? A man. I don't know what you do at home. I don't know what you do when you're away from practice and playing. But when you here at this team and you playing for me, don't nobody wear jewelry or earrings. Nobody. All you got to do is find yourself somewhere else to play. If you can't adhere to what I'm telling you, this ain't for you, not this particular team. That's what's been wrong with the Atlanta Falcons for the last 20 years. It's a feminine team. It's got female character. It's soft. The real boys that have won championships, the Steelers, the Patriots, all these kinds of teams have had that man at the helm that was still a guy. Back in the day, that's all you had. Vince Lombardi, Tom Landry, Chuck Knox, Chuck Knowles. You mean, man, a guy nowadays couldn't even play for those guys. The Steel Curtain, Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Jack Tatum, all these guys, Atkinson's with the Raiders. Those guys were headhunters. But now, the official throws a flag. What's the call, ref? Taunting. Taunting. Peterson last night got an interception and ran back 100 yards. And going into the end zone, he turned around and pointed to the player chasing him because he couldn't catch him. The official threw a flag. What's the call, ref? What's the call? What's the call? You were taunting him. Taunting. taunting? That sounds fairy-like. Stop taunting me. Why, how dare you taunt me? You dirty taunter, you. I mean, you can't think of a better, a worse name to call him than that. A filthy taunter? This is what we've come to. It's all over the spectrum. It's all over the world. This thing is crazy. People lead nations feminine. No guts, no glory, no power, no authority. And they're trying to make all of us bow the knee to homosexuality. And accept this man, a homosexual, is the same as you are. Never happened, G.I. It ain't happening. That ain't going to happen. Ain't no guy across the street bending no guy over a bed rail at night the same as me. And my wife. You and your wife having a tender love relationship and your sexual relationship is normal. And this joker over there across the way with a guy bent over a bed rail like a dog. And he's the same as you are. This is a loving relationship between two loving people. Man, that's torture. That's destroying this guy's inside, ripping this guy limb from limb. This guy doesn't have an anatomical design to accommodate that, but your wife does. And you're making that the same as a man and a woman? You better go somewhere. I won't tell you where you need to go, but you need to go somewhere. Because that's crazy. And they're trying to make you and me believe that. And I stand here and say it. See, that is something wrong with him. Unloving, intolerant, divisive, homophobic, hate monger. I'm a hate monger. You've got a guy bent over a bed rail sodomizing him. I love the guy trying to deliver him from the filth you're doing to him. You hate him because you're feeding your own lust from what you're doing to him. That ain't about him. There ain't no love for him. That's your own lust being gratified doing that to that man. You don't care about him. You care about yourself and your own filthy lust. And you're trying to feed and gratify your own lust at his expense. That's why a guy sodomized a woman, having a woman perform oral sex on him. He despises that woman. He's trying to degrade her and use her like a toilet to gratify his own filthy, stinking, dirty, low-down, unregenerate, effeminate, filthy lust because he's a homosexual. And he's making that woman into a vessel that would do what a homosexual does because he's a homosexual himself already inside. He just hasn't worked his way to the outside performance of a homosexual act. So he gets a surrogate, a woman, to do what a homosexual would do until he gets to that level of degradation. And depravity. Then he'll go and get himself a man like he really wants anyway. Because the woman can't take him to the full stature of what he wants to do. He can sodomize her, but she can't sodomize him. Because that's what he really wants. So he finally has to go get a man. Because I also got this aching to be sodomized. And you ain't got the proper plumbing to do it. I don't like that. I don't care if you don't like it. It's the way it is. That's why these guys want to introduce perversion into your life, because they're homosexuals. No normal man wants you to put your mouth on his penis. There's something wrong with that joker. That joker's warped. I say that. We get letters and messages. The marriage bed is undefiled. No, marriage is held in honor, and the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed is no arena for sodomy. Right. Are you crazy? And a church person will rise up. A preacher will rise up. You have no business bringing this up. That's just nasty to talk about that. You must be doing it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You must be doing it. Because it don't defend nobody that sees the light and has come out of it. It offends the practitioners in it that are still defiled by the filth. You look up sodomy in the dictionary. What does it say? Oral and anal copulation. Webster's. sodomy laws still exist in the state of Georgia. No, the sodomy laws read oral and anal copulation. See, the devil knew what he was doing. He began to pervert the world through getting what people thought were heterosexuals to do things that homosexuals do. And it went into your mind and began to refabricate your thinking to normalize sodomy. So that when the devil finally brought the sodomites to the forefront, since you have been disempowered by participation in sodomy yourself, guess what? I won't say anything against it because they are what I am. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? So what did he do? He introduced the sodomy through the pornography. And then gave people a steady diet of pornography. And they began to see all these images of oral sex and anal sex and bestiality. And all this stuff was feeding into them. And you can't watch pornography without participating in it. You got to go do what you're looking at. And he was able to twist the minds and maim them on the inside to make them into sodomites. So now we live in a sodomite colony. And they want you to bow the knee to their sodomy. And when you refuse to, guess what? You don't just become their enemy. You become the enemy of the state. Because the state is run by sodomites. You better wake up. You better wake up real fast out of this delusion. Because if you don't, you're going to be swept away by this one. Silly women laden with sins. Led away with what? Diverse kinds of lust. Diverse desires. You know, we got women nowadays. They got so much lust on them, they'll do anything.